All right, we got a lot to bring you during the course of our pregame show tonight. We're excited about that, and we're going to start it off by heading out west. Rob Vollman is on the line with us once again. We'd like to check in with him every few weeks, and he is with HockeyPerspectus.com, and we'll get him to throw out the website where you can get access to all of his materials. Of course, he's a statistical analyst, if you will, when it comes to hockey. The last time we had him on, he was talking about what would be the right thing, right player that might be out there that could be a fit for the Predators, and he said Hal Gill. And so we're going to give him a chance to pat himself on the back on the air with us tonight. Rob, it's good to talk to you again.
Thanks, Willie. As you know, it's always a tremendous pleasure to be on 102.5 The Game.
Well, Rob, take us back. When we last talked to you, give us the reasoning why you thought Hal Gill would be a good match, because certainly now he is in the fold. We've had a chance to watch him play a couple games, but why is he a good fit for this club?
Well, as we wrote in last year's book, the 2011-12 Hockey Prospectus Annual, is that the Nashville Predators, and we showed this statistically, are two different teams when you have Suter and Weber on the ice and when you have anyone else on the ice. It's like Jekyll and Hyde. They're two very different teams, and what in their defense beyond those two is largely the unknown and the untried. And what they really need going into the playoffs is number one is a defenseman that can play top six, play against the top six lines, can play top 4 minutes, can take a lot of them, can kill penalties, and has that veteran experience. You can really count on them to play that solid time. That's number one. And number two, it doesn't hurt to have someone with the size of Hal Gill on that line.
So, Rob, now that he's in the fold here, how much you like to do, you know, different things in terms of what a guy brings in terms of value on the ice. How much does this bump up Nashville to maybe close the gap on some of the front runners in the West?
Well, you know, one player out of 20, of course, isn't a complete overhaul, but it's just those types of tune-ups you want to make. Because if you look back at all the Stanley Cup champions and the Stanley Cup finalists over the years, these aren't teams that made major overhauls at the deadline. They're teams that make those little tune-ups. And you make the right tune-up, it makes all the difference. And that's more the impact I think it's going to have on the team.
You know, and kind of looking at, you talk about tuning things up, and right now there's only a couple of major names floating around out there. But as far as, you know, something else, if you kind of look for a forward, are there any guys out there who maybe are either A, under the radar, or B, maybe undervalued as far as what they could bring to a team or what they can contribute?
That's an excellent question. You see, sometimes I worry when I see a guy like Steve Downey go for a first-round pick, that maybe the market's getting a little bit too hot, a little bit too crazy, and the price is going to be a little bit too high. So I guess you just got to get out there and see what the offers are. If there is a player that might be undervalued, I'm just curious if maybe Nashville, in their hunt for a top six forward, which is what I think they need, if they could maybe get Alex Hemsky at a bargain price. I mean, he's really been, I think, downplayed and down-talked in Edmonton. He wants to stay in Edmonton, but it's possible that his stock could be low enough with Tamalini that they might be able to get him for a similar sort of package that they gave up for Gill.
Rob, that's interesting because his name does come up over here. It doesn't appear that there's a lot of interest on Nashville's part here, but I'm curious, just your take on a player like him. Why do you think he may be undervalued?
Well, he's been injury-prone. That's the first thing. So people haven't really seen his true contribution, his true capability to contribute. That's number one. Number two, in Edmonton, all the focus, all the spotlight has been on those tremendously talented, skilled young players that they have. So a player like Alex Hemsky doesn't maybe get those same opportunities, the same press, the same spotlight. But he's when he is healthy, in my conviction, the numbers demonstrate that he is getting the job done at a top six forward level. So he might, I'm speculating here, but he might be the type of guy you could get cheaper than he ought to go.
Rob, when you look at everything, though, and the way things are playing out right now, do you just kind of expect prices might be a little bit higher than, even though a lot of teams are looking, but maybe higher than most teams are comfortable paying?
Yes, I do believe that some of these moves have been a little bit too pricey, and there's always a risk that it's going to get pricey. If you're trying to get value, the best bet is it's like when Antoine Vermette was picked up. If you find a guy with a stiff contract, like he's on the hook for three more years, at a high salary, something along those lines, like Vermette was, and that player doesn't fit in to the future plans of the club where he is, that's the sort of guy you might be able to get cheap. But, of course, that's going to come with that long-term contract and that step price. So you got to make sure he's part of your long-term plans, like last year when they picked up Mike Fisher, that sort of deal.
Rob Vollman from Hockey Prospectus is our guest here on our Predators pregame show. Rob, there's a lot of rumors right now that Mike Richards might be reunited with Jeff Carter out in Los Angeles. So there's some rumors that perhaps the Kings might want to bite on Jeff Carter, take that big 10-year deal you just talked about, the type of contract that you're on the hook for sometimes to get a player who can really move the needle. If it was the principal guy, Carter, going to Los Angeles, and the principal piece that they give back to Columbus would be Jonathan Bernier, how much does that help the Kings, who, as we look right now, barely hanging in there in the playoff race?
Well, the Kings, yeah. In fact, I just looked this morning. There's a few different statistical models that determine what a team's chances are of making the playoffs, and the Kings have slipped below the 50% mark now. Early last time we spoke, it looked like they really had that spot locked down. So a move like that might give them the boost they need. But like you said, that is a long-term contract. One thing they have to be wary of, and I don't know these people personally, of course, but there's speculation that Lombardi might be, you know, they might be looking at his future with the club as well. And a lot of times GMs, when they feel that their future with the club is being looked at, they tend to maybe make moves that are a little bit more high risk, high reward. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But I think that would be a great move for Columbus because I think they really need a goaltender. And Jonathan Bernier, who's not going to get much of an opportunity, I think, in Los Angeles, Jonathan Quick playing so well, could really help them out.
Rob, I'm looking. I notice you oftentimes have been tracking the Calgary Flames, the closest team to your neck of the woods here, their percentage chance of getting into the playoffs. They've played great here of late to get right there, just 1 point within a striking distance now. And in fact, they were in the top eight two days ago when we were doing our last broadcast here. You know, the probabilities when you go to these websites, which I know you do often, we do here as well, you've got, for example, Anaheim, who still, in their mind, feel like they're in this thing. They're just, you look at it, they got 60 points. They got to get to 66 to be in the playoffs. But their percentage chance of making the playoffs, according to sportsclubstats.com, is only 5%. It looks like there's a much different correlation between the actual chances you have, according to the numbers, and the mentality of a team.
Yeah, and that really is the primary thing that we like to contribute with our statistical analysis, is to provide that objective splash of water, that buzzkill, as sometimes I've been known, to provide that little splash of cold objective water. And I think it's fantastic because, to the hockey players themselves, they have to believe they're going to make it. I don't care if they're the Anaheim Ducks. They have to believe they're going to make it. They're professionals. That's their job. And they have to believe in themselves or they're not going to succeed. But, you know, as a fan, as an analyst, as someone covering the team, you have to be realistic. You have to splash the cold water on your face, and you have to say, I understand that Anaheim hasn't regressed like I said they would. I don't always get it right. Everyone knows that. But really, their season was over a long time ago, and they'd be really passing up an opportunity if they didn't try to get value for some of their UFAs, for some of their veterans right now, when the prices could conceivably get high enough to really help them out long term.
I think that's really an interesting question, is how many GMs can look at it objectively and look at the numbers like that. Because, as you said, Rob, sometimes because it is a seller's market, you could get maybe a lot back that can help you down the road, but it's hard to bite the bullet there.
Yeah, and in Anaheim's case, it's a little bit more interesting because they do have an excellent system of prospects already. Like, they're already, I think, well-equipped for the next few years. So they're not necessarily looking for prospects. They might actually be looking for actual pieces, like the third, fourth line players, depth defensemen, younger defensemen. So they're not necessarily interested in prospects. So they actually might be in a better position in the seller's market than the others, because people might be more willing to give up spare parts than prospects and picks.
Rob, go ahead, Tom.
Well, I was going to say, Rob, is there anybody, I know we talk an awful lot and focus on the West, but out of the teams in the East, I mean, you look at Carolina, who you figured would be a seller, but instead they're doing everything they can to kind of contain everybody there. Are there any other teams that, you know, one way or the other, you think, depending on how it plays out, is there enough time to suddenly bring someone into the fold that maybe are not being widely talked about or widely considered right now as a seller before the deadline?
You mean in the East?
Sure.
Well, the East is tricky because there's a lot of teams that are, it's hard to tell what they should do in terms of whether they should go to sellers or whether they should try to get that one more piece. I'm talking about teams like Toronto, Ottawa, Washington, teams like that. Washington, I checked that one this morning too. They've dropped all the way down to, I think, somewhere between 30 and 40% of making the playoffs. They're a team I thought for sure was going to be in the equation. And I think if they had kept Bruce Boudreau, they would be. But that's not a knock on Hunter. That's really a compliment for Boudreau. That team really was, I think, playing well, just not getting the bounces. So a team like Washington, their chances have dropped down to 30 or 40%. You know, I personally think they should tighten up those players rather than go into sell mode. Toronto's another team. I guess all the buzz is whether they should pick up a goalie, whether they should get some help in net. It looks like they want to move Luke Shen, so they have a piece that they could potentially dangle out there. But personally, I think they're on maybe, I think they should be more on the selling side of the equation for one more year. But again, it's so exciting when you have those teams that are on that 30 to 40% bubble like Washington, Los Angeles, and Calgary and Toronto and so on.
You're right, and Nashville has been that team a few times over the last few years. Hopefully, for their sake, they are on the right side of that bubble, and they're thinking more seed at this point. But, Rob, thank you very much for your perspective on this. Give people the information if they want to check out your stuff on the web.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to check out any of my articles, head over to www.hockeyabstract.com. You'll see all my articles there, regardless of where they were published, whether it's Hockey Prospectus or ESPN. There's links to my books. There's a link you can follow me on Twitter. There's all my stats. That's the best part, actually. You can go and you can actually download all the stats for yourself. Use the models that I've described for yourself for your own purposes. Use them next year, the year after. Use it for different teams. It's all right there for you to look at for yourself.
Outstanding. Rob, thank you for your time.
Anytime.
All right, Rob Vollman, Hockey Prospectus. He also is a contributor to ESPN. That's where he put the Hal Gill piece of information. He said Hal Gill would be a great fit. He nailed that one. Predators are glad to have the big defenseman. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, Tom and I will be back with you, and we'll have some highlights from the other night against Vancouver. But first, let me bring